Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
Time now for our first look at the commodity markets for this Friday morning. We have our pre-opening report, and here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning before, about at 7:30, USDA released its export sales report for the week ending December 28th. The numbers look like this. For wheat, 5.0 million bushels. Corn, 22.6 million. But next year has a negative 1.4 million bushels. And soybeans, 12.5 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with the folks from Strategic Farm Marketing. Slaughter hog prices today are called mostly steady, but there are some firm tones in the Western Corn Belt for hogs to be delivered next week. Terminals are called mostly steady to firm. A very light volume test today, tops from $36 to $38. Peoria called steady to firm with a top price of $36. And the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, January 4th. Negotiated swine purchases were 16,751. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range is $48.25 to $56, a weighted average $54.91, a loss of $1.53 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $39.48 to $46.50, the weighted average $44.02. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 13,701. The base price range was $48.25 to $59. The weighted average, $55.20. A gain of 83 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $36.68 to $45. And the weighted average was $43.40.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Joining us now to talk about the agricultural weather is meteorologist Jay Searles. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Dave. And just a second here, I got to bring up the right page from the World Weather for the forecast and see what's going on across the regions. I got multiple emails this morning from World Weather and is trying to find the correct one in my mailbox to see which one. There we go. Brazil, rain was reported in nearly 70% of Brazil again Thursday, with rainfall varying from the half inch to 1.25 inches in most of southern Brazil. Passo Fundo reported heavy rain, but we believe the observation may be an error and we will have to confirm it later this morning in our updated past 24-hour rainfall maps. Mostly dry conditions occurred in southern Goiás, eastern Mato Grosso and Bahia, northeastern Minas Gerais and northern Espírito Santo. High temperatures were in the upper 70s and 80s in the waterlogged cropped areas of center-south Brazil and the 80s and lower 90s elsewhere. Rain will impact all of Brazil at one time or another over the next 10 days, and amounts will be sufficient to maintain adequate and excessive moisture. So net drying may occur in the far southern part of Brazil again during the second week of the two-week outlook. But sufficient rain will fall in the first week of the forecast to carry a normal crop development when conditions turn drier again. Bahia may be a little bit dry for this first week, but it should get rain in the second week. Temperatures will be seasonable as well, with mainly day highs in the 80s to lower 90s. So continued very wet across most of Brazil. How about Argentina? A few random showers occurred Thursday with up to 0.4 inches, resulting in Cordoba. Covering a measurable rain was about 15%, leaving most of the nation in a net drying mode. High temperatures were mostly in the 80s and lower 90s Fahrenheit, with the warmest conditions in northern and southwestern crop areas. Rain is predicted to be infrequent and not very significant in the coming week. Random showers are expected periodically, but evaporations will likely outpace the rainfall, resulting in net drying for much of the nation. The second week of the two-week forecast will offer some increase in rainfall, but no general soaking is expected prior to January 17th. Subsoil moisture will remain adequate to support crops during the drier period. Temperatures will be seasonable through the weekend and then warmer than usual early next week before a cooling takes place during mid to late week next week. Highs in the upper 70s and 80s will occur in the far southern areas over the next few days, while the middle 80s and lower 90s occur elsewhere. Highs in the early next week will be in the 80s through the 90s as well, with extremes near or above 100 in the far north, especially Santiago del Estero. Crop moisture issues will evolve in parts of Santiago del Estero next week. Without some increase in precipitation, the province is already trending a little too dry, and no substantial relief is expected for a little while. And that's a look at Argentina. How about traveling across the Midwest? Once again, a larger storm system will form in the central and southern plains next week and more likely in the following weekend. In other words, we've got a period of dry weather here. A cool front moves through the Midwest during the next 5 days, bringing cooler air into the region, and temperatures will not be nearly as warm as they have been, but still be averaging above normal. And then we're going to be dealing with the possibility of another storm at the end of next week. Into next weekend, we'll have to keep a definite eye on this storm as it starts to move across the Rockies into the Colorado region and in the Midwest. Could bring some very heavy snow once again to Colorado into the end part of next week. Rain and snow will that precede the coolest weather may be heavy, although it is a little too soon to put high confidence in the forecast at this time. It's just something we really need to keep an eye on into next week across the United States. Turn on to India. Rain is needed throughout the wheat and rapeseed country, but very little is expected for again. Some forecast models are beginning to suggest rain is possible again during the week of January 15th, but resulting amounts will be light. The situation may become more critical in the second half of January and February if significant rain has not occurred. Some loss in yield is possible without timely rainfall during that period. On to Australia. That's a look at the agricultural forecast. I guess we're going to skip Australia. There's not much being reported there. I'm meteorologist Jay Searles.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 479, up 1 3/4. Last trade up 3 3/4 at the Board of Trade in Chicago. March wheat opened at 469, up 1 1/2. Last trade up 1 1/2. March corn opened at 361 1/4, down 1. Last trade up 1 1/4. July 377 3/4, up 1/2. Last trade up 1 3/4. December 358 1/2, down 1/2. Last trade up 1 1/2. January beans open at 664 3/4, up 2. Last trade up 2 3/4. July 703 1/4, up 2. Last trade up 4 3/4. November 720 3/4, down 3/4. Last trade up 3 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Well, you look at the export sales numbers. They didn't live up to the expectations of traders on this shortened December 28th week report. Is that enough excuse to take these prices down today?
Oh, Dave, I really don't think the export numbers mean a heck of a lot. This is kind of post-holiday type of thing. I think it's more anticipated, even though the estimates are higher than where the actuals came out at. You get kind of a drag time in there where people are trying to get back up to speed, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess it's not totally unexpected. I don't really think it's going to have a net effect. Although, here's what I'm looking at. I think today we'll probably start higher, but if we don't see some strength in the market somewhere, that by the end of the day, we're going to be probably trending a little bit lower again. Currently, outside markets, commodity markets, the CRB is fairly weak at this point. energies and the metals have basically led that sell-off. You know, OPEC has reduced production, and we're still seeing crude moving lower, adding strength to the dollar. Now, you know, the index funds are sitting out there saying they're using their money as a hedge against inflation. And as you and I talked just a few minutes ago, 3 years ago, we had $30 billion available for investment into commodities. Today, or by the end of this year, they're projecting $130 billion. So I don't know whether we're going to overload the futures market and we're going to get things so expensive that end users can't afford to use it. I just don't know where that's all headed. It's going to be a real quandary, I think, before it's all said and done. Another item here that I heard over the last few days was there was a British study out on weather, and they're projecting this summer to be the hottest summer in history. Australia is going to continue to burn up, and a very wet west coast of the U.S., center of the U.S. up a half a degree or so. And I don't know whether, you know, like I said, this is just a British study. Whether it's going to have any guts to it or not, I don't, you know. Just projections at this point.
All right, then. Thank you much, Tom.
Okay, Dave. Bye.
Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We join the BBC in progress.